You are listening to a sermon by John Clausen, recorded on Sunday, October 6, 2019, at the Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
First, I want to explain why I asked for these passages. First of all, because I'm fascinated by the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? And here you get a real flood of it. The first two I'll leave alone, but the other ones are really show that the kingdom of God is really based on materiality, things, eats, we eat. Even the many will come from the east and the west and will take their place in the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. It's a feast that they're coming for. Everything is about eating, or it's about things that grow, things that are planted. But the one that stands out for me is the one about this guy who wants to be forgiven his debt, but doesn't want to forgive the other person's debt. That really boggles my mind. But I think it's the fundamental, to me, that's really the fundamental nature of God, that God wants to forgive and God wants us to forgive. Bottom line, and I think that's just wonderful. The other part comes from a book I read, and I'll be using it to some extent, by Johan Norberg. It's called Progress, 10 Reasons to Look Forward to the Future. He talks about what has happened in the last about 100 to 200 years, and it's fundamentally a flood of material good crops, lots of food that we have created in the last 200 years. So I want to talk about that. For many centuries, people's daily life was marked by famine, poverty, misery, hungry, and early death. Now, for Christians, this kind of damaged universe was a result of Adam and Eve's fall in the Garden of Eden. And so then God's answer to this fall is, and for Christians, is then that Jesus Christ was God's supreme effort to restore and deliver humanity. God chose a young woman, Mary, to be a conduit for Jesus. In her Magnificat, she glorified God using the past tense for everything that had not yet happened. Now, I always have found that puzzling. But it's her supreme confidence. It was so strong that she could use the past tense to describe something that would happen in the future. She knew it would. And in this case, in the life of her unborn son. So God, she ends up, God filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich empty away. These things will happen, yet the majority of people at that time remained poor, and the rich continued rich. For all practical purposes, good things will happen in the future. And some of these good things began to happen in the 19th and the 20th century. In this book, Progress, I was reading that book. I was struck by Mary's words, and by the description of what, in many ways, fit the expectations of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. And we read all those things. And so today, I want to talk about the coming kingdom of heaven. In these biblical passages, they compare the kingdom of God with nameless characters. None of them have a name. And their action which are drawn from everyday life. Their concerns are material. They planted seeds. They worked the dough. They baked bread. They caught fish. They owned estates. They negotiated wages and workloads. And today, I want to look at this, these 20 or so years, and to invite us to celebrate, or ask ourselves perhaps, how can we celebrate the remarkable material progress of the last 200 years? This won't be chronological, but I'll start with the 1909, when two German scientists, Fritz Haber and Karl Bosch, discovered how to mass-produce ammonia, which is the main component in nitrogen-based fertilizers. And fertilizers are amazing. I grew up on a farm where a good crop was 20 to 30 bushels an acre. Now they're getting 200, 300 with fertilizer. My dad was not eager to use fertilizer because it costs money. That's what we get from these two men in 1902. Later in the 1940s, an agronomist and an organizer named Norman Borlaug headed what came to be a worldwide life-saving campaign to end hunger and save lives. To this end, he worked with governments, with cooperatives, and with corporations. Borlaug inspired research projects in wheat breeding. He did so in the country of Mexico, India, Africa, and East Asia. He used seeds and roads to uplift the hungry, suffering people. He hoped to bring peace and reconciliation to a deeply divided and troubled 20th century world. For his energy and success, his contemporaries rewarded him with a Nobel Prize. So I want to talk a little bit about some of those new technologies. About some of the results of that. In addition to the inventions that are made, the discoveries that are made, there's also new technology that contributed to the increase of food. 200 years ago, it took 25 men all day to harvest and thresh 1 ton of grain. Today, one person with a combine, that's the thresher, can do it in 6 minutes. It used to take an hour to milk 10 liters. Today, a modern milking machine can do it in less than 1 minute. The other side is, wherever people live, we contaminate earth and water. And this leads to the spread of bacteria, viruses, parasites, and worms. And the outbreaks of cholera in London in mid-19th century stimulated the investigation of cures to these human illnesses. A physician, John Snow, observed that cholera broke out where people lived in low areas where they had dug wells for their drinking water. And he concluded, John Snow did, that germs are carried by water, not by air. And so this led governments, local governments, to prohibit people digging wells in wetlands. And they also introduced filtered and chlorinated water and sewer systems, as well as effective garbage collection. Very simple measures, but they made a world of difference in the survival of human beings. Examining the material environment, which is what Dr. John Snow did, resulted in saving lives. Since the 19th century, the mortality rate among infants dropped 74%, and early deaths among overall population dropped 43%. Eventually, everybody died, but early deaths. Eventually, those trends were evident throughout the world. Literally, billions of people got safe water. Today, 96% of the world's urban population and 84% of the rural population have access to clean water. Now, the greatest lack of water existed in sub-Saharan Africa. Here, women and girls and children spent much of their lives simply carrying water from a distant well to their home. It is estimated that collectively, African women and children spent 40 billion hours per year carrying water. This meant that girls had no time to go to school, no time to look for a job that paid. Eventually, Northern Africa, Latin America, the Caribbean, and Western Asia have achieved levels where close to 90% of females have been released from carrying water duties. And some of that work I'm going to mention in a few minutes. Now, life expectancy is ultimately the clearest measurement of progress. Who doesn't want to live long? 200 years ago, no country in the world had an average life expectancy of over 40 years. The majority lived in extreme poverty. But the improvement of the food supplies that I've referred to, the improvements of clean water, medical knowledge, technology, practices like washing your hands with chlorinated water. Whenever you go into Vancouver General Hospital, there's a little place to wipe your hands every 20 feet, I think. It's very important. It reduced the death rate of mothers dying in childbirth by almost 90%. Now, Mennonites were close to the front lines in this monumental effort to increase life's length and its quality. I want to give two examples. The very first one, when the Mennonites in North America realized of the difficulties Mennonites in the Ukraine were having, they decided to send material help to them in the Soviet Union, the new Soviet Union. I'll just leave that at that. So the MCC then was organized for this purpose. There were two groups, one in Canada and one in the United States, and they decided to get together for this purpose of helping their fellow Mennonites in the Ukraine. So they wanted to bring, once MCC was formed, it wanted to bring three tractors to our fellow Mennonites in order to help them in farming. So MCC requested a permit from the new Soviet Union, and it agreed to give them the permit, provided MCC would also help non-Mennonite Russians. Good pragmatic clause. The second event I wanted to mention is much later, about almost 100 years later. In 2012, MCC made a compact with the city of Lusaka, Zambia, to invest over $300,000 in infrastructure and improvements to increase the residents' access to water, to sanitation, and drainage services. Again, one of the gestures that made it possible for girls to stay at home, not to carry water miles and miles, but to find other work or to go to school. For a time, a global divide opened as some parts of the world achieved substantial health improvements while others lagged. The good news is that the world in general is seeing significant improvement in infant and child mortality since 1950. Though this is just a small group of the data and the facts that should point to this improvement in living in our lives. Slavery is the most brutal form of oppression, turning away from now the material things to other problems in the cosmos. Slavery is the most brutal form of oppression in the world. Humanity strives towards the end of slavery is another indication of progress and improvement. In 1815, European countries declared that, quoting them, the slave trade was repugnant to universal morality. Then in 1865, President Lincoln abolished slavery in the United States. Over the next decades, almost every European country began to abolish slavery, as did their former colonies in Latin America. While millions still suffer from forced labor and debt bondage, the fact that slavery is now formally banned everywhere is an encouraging example of human progress. Doesn't mean slavery has ended, but it's been banned. So my focus overall has been on material, the material aspect of life, the eating part, the growing vegetables, the money that is also a representation of material. To me, that's important. That's a reality, and those things. Those are the kinds of things we're now attacking. I don't know about the future. I cannot figure out yet why people want to create robots that will take over their lives. It boggles my mind. I would not trust a robot myself. But that's another question. So. But I think that this great shift in material and everyday life over the last 200 years deserves a celebration of gratitude despite unfortunate setbacks.